The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. This is Dr. Craig, eager to share with you what I believe is the cutting edge of spirituality in our day. In spite of all the calamities in our world, I am filled with hope and joy that we, you and I, and all humanity are on the verge of a new spiritual awakening. This shift in spirituality is perhaps best expressed by declaring, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that's what I want to explore with you in these podcasts of Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. This past Easter season, there was a television event of spiritual note. The Bible, at least the highlights of the Bible, were depicted in a mini-series created by Roma Downey of Touched by an Angel fame and her husband. It was really quite well done and garnered a large viewership. But here's the thing. The episode on the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ was timed to be shown, as you might imagine, on Easter Sunday evening. And in fact, it made Easter Eve special this year, including myself. Yet, it played against the season finale of a series called The Walking Dead. As I understand it, this sci-fi weirdness is about dead people who come back to life and survive and thrive by eating human flesh. Gore galore, I guess. Well, the thing is that The Walking Dead polled better than the resurrection from the dead, especially among the age group of 18 to 49. Now, it occurred to me that, especially in light of that age cohort of 18 to 49, that age group might just say, hey, both of these shows were just depicting some kind of fantasy, so what does it matter which one we watched? And this has pushed me then to think for myself about why I believe in the resurrection. And it goes all the way back in history, of course, to the time of Jesus' crucifixion itself. His tomb is empty, but what does that mean? And so I put myself now to the task of trying to understand why I do believe in the resurrection. And maybe that will be helpful to you to think through with me. Because from the perspective of spiritual enlightenment, we can no longer believe in such things, I think, simply as a matter of blind faith. Rather, we need some kind of cogent explanation that truly makes any of our spiritual convictions be convictions of enlightenment indeed. So, let me start boldly. If there is no resurrection, then there is no Christianity. So let's drop back in history to the time of the crucifixion itself. Jesus' disciples, these big, bold, burly men, have, you might say, become spiritual wimps. They've gone into hiding. A Joseph of Arimathea feels sorry for this Jesus who did offer such good teachings, and so he takes a newly hewn tomb that he had probably set aside for himself and gives it for the burial. and the burial had to be done, frankly, by Jewish terms, rather quickly and not completely, because it was the eve of the Sabbath, that is Friday evening. So they rather readily wrapped him in a burial cloth and rolled the stone across the tomb entrance. Now, I've been to the Holy Land. I've seen several of such tombs, and they were indeed carved out of stone, limestone, which is much more readily given to caves and to be formed, shaped. So there would be this cave-like aspect, not very deep, but enough for bodies to be laid in with platforms cut into the stone inside of the tomb, and then a very large and heavy stone placed across the opening. And that was secured because there was a rut dug into the earth right in front of the opening. So the stone would actually be rolled in place and then would sit down into that rut to secure it. And with that, it was over. That's it. Over and done with. Jesus was executed like a common criminal, and there was nothing left for his followers to do but to go back home to Galilee, to pick up their lives where they had left off and try and carry on as best they could. But having been convinced that there was something more to this Jesus, but now that he had suffered such a common, even criminal death, it seemed that there was nothing more to it, nothing but sorrow and dejection. Now, our perspective of spiritual enlightenment tells me that the Bible certainly embellishes to make its point, and that's true, I believe, of the details of the resurrection and all that swirls around it. But here's one thing for sure. It's a point where we can start, and it's an important one. Both the Roman and Jewish authorities admit that the tomb was empty. That's a fact. And here's another thing I think we can accept as fact, because they wouldn't have wanted to even back then, namely this, that it is a woman, Mary Magdalene, who first witnesses and proclaims the resurrection. And that's really significant, because if there had been any way possible to make it a male disciple that would announce Jesus' resurrection, then the men who wrote the Bible would have certainly, given their sexist bias, depicted it in that way. For example, this sexism is further typified by the legal stipulation that women's testimony would not have been accepted in a Jewish court of law back in those days. It just wouldn't have been taken that as a fact that a woman could report accurately. And in fact, when Mary Magdalene goes back to tell the disciples of the empty tomb and that the Lord is risen, they write it off, and this is again in the Bible, as an idle tale. So they wouldn't have wanted to have written it this way, but the fact is that the women had witnessed this empty tomb, had witnessed the risen Lord, and they were the first witnesses to do so. And because that's how it happened, that's how it had to be recorded in Scripture itself. And only then, after the women proclaim it, do the men go to the empty tomb to see it for themselves. Now, an empty tomb does not a resurrection make. There had to be something more. And I think that something more literally makes all the difference in the world. Jesus himself appears in his spiritual body after his physical death. First, he appears, as we've said, to the women, then the male disciples, then there are manifestations to other followers before his ascension. Now, if you want, you can check all this out in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. So, where does the rubber hit the road here? Well, the rubber hits the road because if there had not been these appearances in his spiritual body of our risen Lord, then there would have been no compulsion for there to be what we now know as the Christian movement. It would have had to have taken these miraculous, luminous appearances of our risen Christ to so radically turn around these men in hiding, as well as even the women who had just gone back to the tomb simply to complete the obsequies that were due somebody who was Jewish and had died and buried. And only these appearances could have turned the whole thing around. There had to be those who had seen him resurrected, from the dead, and they then went boldly forward into the world to proclaim this Christ event and eternal life in him. And what's even more remarkable is that they did this even to the sacrifice of their own lives for the sake of spreading the gospel. This turnaround in the lives of those who had faith in Christ was precipitous and stunning. Historians have noted, as a matter of fact, again, historical fact, that no world religion has ever spread throughout the known world so quickly and so far and so wide in such a short amount of time. In sum, without the resurrection of our Lord, there is no Christian faith. For it is in this Christ spirit that people have came to find that they had abundant life in this world and eternal life in the world to come. And if that isn't world transforming, I don't know what is. But is that enough yet from the perspective of spiritual enlightenment? I think not, because I believe that visitations after physical death are a recurring phenomena in the spiritual life. As a matter of spiritual enlightenment, I don't have faith simply because the Bible tells me so. I look for evidence in the larger spiritual phenomena that people have experienced beyond the Bible, and in that find corroboration for spiritual appearances beyond physical death. Now, certainly in our day, near-death experiences come to the fore, and it is indeed a powerful spiritual witness to life eternal. And I will certainly take that up and devote other podcasts to this fascinating spiritual phenomenon. But what about what we might call, in this instance, real death visitations? Like those manifestations of Christ after his physical death, have there been other such phenomena? And others have shared with me, in fact, such experiences, and praise God, I myself had had such experience in my own life. So let me share with you just one such incident told to me by a good lady of faith. I'll call her Mary. I would visit Mary regularly in the nursing home where she spent the last decade or so of her life. When she got to know me and could trust me with spiritual matters, she confided her deepest spiritual experience with me. This visitation had occurred several decades back, but to her it was as vivid as if it were yesterday. In this incident, Mary herself had been admitted to the hospital, and she was gravely ill. In fact, her physicians did not know if she would survive. They told her family that things looked grim. Now, while she was in hospital, Mary's favorite aunt, who was like a second mother to her, suddenly took a turn and died. Knowing how close Mary was to her, the family and friends, and they even got the hospital staff to go along with, in effect, a kind of conspiracy, so that no one would tell Mary about her aunt's passing. They did this because they had a fear that if Mary knew of this, then she would maybe take a turn that would push her over the edge to her own demise. So, thankfully, Mary had a good turn in her health, and just as she was ready to be let go from hospital, her family decided that they should gather together around Mary's hospital bed and tell her the sad news about her aunt's dying. So they gathered and gently told her and explained their bit of conspiracy as an act of love for Mary. Much to their amazement, Mary simply told them that she already knew, that in fact her aunt had appeared to her at her hospital bedside. She told Mary that she wanted to come to her and to tell her goodbye and that she loved her before she left this world. And here's the remarkable thing then. Mary had no earthly way to know of her aunt's passing over, except that her aunt had appeared to her at the time of her physical death, but before she left this world. The family, in fact, then stood around that hospital bed and tried to figure out the timing of when this appearance had occurred to Mary and when her aunt had been declared dead. And the timing was such that the appearance would have occurred shortly after her aunt was pronounced physically dead. Needless to say, this became a revelatory moment for the entire family. And I would add then that this is only one of several such incidents that people have shared with me and that I could go on about at this time as further evidence, if you will, of this spiritual phenomena of appearing after one's physical death. That is to say that there's a resurrection. And that would be true of myself and my mother, having experienced my father in the spirit shortly after his burial. For me, these incidents become luminous and give credence to Christ's resurrection. Except there's a difference, as there might well be, of course, with the Christ. Namely, that they weren't just limited to a very short period of time after his physical death on the cross, but that he was granted by God's grace then to make visitations with a multitude of different people over a real space of time, and then they, in turn, would share them, and it was world-changing. Because in this experience of Christ's resurrection, they then would have confirmation of his wisdom teachings, his healing miracles, his compassionate acts, his faithful crucifixion, and most of all, life eternal. Life eternal that awaits all people of goodwill and loving service. In short, Jesus' resurrection confirms him as the Christ. But it is a resurrection for us all in the Christ spirit. Because if we live in the Spirit of God, our lives are resurrected. Now, each and every day, in the Christ spirit, we are lifted up beyond our mundane to-do list of our everyday lives, and each moment takes on a divine power, beauty, and purpose. The resurrection, then, is not a one-time occurrence back there then, as amazing as that is. Rather, there is resurrection in our lives that is ever and ongoing. And finally, we believe then in the resurrection because in our spiritual enlightenment, we discover the resurrection in our own lives, being lifted up in our own hearts, minds, and souls forever. Not just in the world to come, but now, here, today. With that, I sign off, and I thank you for tuning in to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. If you want to contact me, I'd be glad to receive your concerns or even your criticism. Yes, I welcome it all. You have opportunity to do that right there on the podcast page. So please take advantage of that. I'd love to hear from you. I leave you then with a heartfelt blessing. Know that you are infinitely precious to God and that God loves you. Know that you have a unique purpose in God. And may all that you do be done in loving service. Know that you are living eternal life in God even now, in this moment, and forever. Amen.